Please open your Bibles with me again to the Gospel according to John. John chapter 21, as I will read with you from our text, John 21, the verses 15, 16, and 17. Hear God's holy and inspired word. So, when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. So far, the reading of God's word and the reading of our text. And congregation, I must say that just reading this text again, I know that this is a very familiar text to you, and no doubt you have heard sermons on this text before. And so please bear with me if you hear something that you've heard many times before. But it is such a beautiful text passage, and it is such a beautiful thing to think about, particularly after we have considered the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, let me then consider this with you in the following way. Dear congregation, do you not sometimes regret what you have said or done in the past? Do you not sometimes feel like you want to crawl in a hole and withdraw from society because of the things you have done in the past that were not right? I know I have. But at the same time, we know that life goes on. We may be able to ignore the whole thing for a while and pretend that nothing is really wrong. There comes a time that it has to be dealt with again, doesn't it? And that, of course, for our spiritual good. Peter, one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, he also once experienced this, no doubt. And you know the story. On the day that the Lord Jesus Christ was on trial, Peter, wanting to save his own skin, denied the Lord Jesus Christ, and not just once, not just twice, but three times in a row. You can read of this in Matthew 29, for instance. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. But right after that, we know this, he regretted it deeply. And then Matthew also tells us, and he, Peter, went out and he wept bitterly. And in the days and the weeks following, Peter seemed to have buried the whole matter, the whole affair of his denial. He has carried on as normal as possible, even rejoicing in Jesus' resurrection, happy to see that Jesus is alive again, and hanging around with his fellow disciples as if nothing was wrong. Now, was he hurting inside? I believe he did. I believe so. Because, you see, Christians can act as if everything is well, while at the same time they are hurting inside because of a previous fall into a sin of words or of actions. And no doubt, this was also the case with Peter as well. But Jesus, knowing all things and being wise in all of these things, he took up this matter and, in a gentle way, began a restorative work in Peter. And that is what I want to speak to you about this afternoon hour. And want to do it in the following way. Jesus' restorative work in a believer. In the first place, such work can be painful. Secondly, such work draws out a confession. And then thirdly, such work reinstates the believer in his calling. Now, congregation, our text places in a delightful scene. An early morning breakfast at the shores of the Sea of Tiberias, which is also known as the Sea of Galilee. It is a vacation place. If anyone has ever been there, yes, you would say that is a truly vacation place, lake at the Lake of Galilee. Jesus is the host, and the disciples are his guests. And just prior to all of this, those disciples had a rather fabulous catch of fish, which was really nothing less than a miracle that Jesus performed right there in front of their eyes. And now, as they sit around a fire of coals, Jesus is offering them bread and fish, and they could all enjoy a hearty breakfast. Delightful, tranquil, peaceful. This is how we can describe the atmosphere and the spirit of that hour. Now, I am sure that the Lord Jesus created this kind of atmosphere on purpose as he is about to do some work on Peter, of which he knew already that it would be painful for Peter. As Peter, a short while ago, committed a great sin, denying any knowledge of the Lord Jesus while he was sitting close to a fire of coals, Jesus, knowing that he would have to do a restoring work on Peter, decided that this would also be the same situation, close to a fire of coals again. And so he directs himself to Peter, and he asks him, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" And no doubt the Lord Jesus, as it were, reached his hand over the other disciples who were sitting there as well. "Peter," or rather, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these here?" Notice how Jesus begins. "Simon, son of Jonas." Now, boys and girls, you may know that this is Peter's old name. And most likely, Peter's old name before he was even converted. Just as the Apostle Paul was called Saul before he was converted, so Peter was called Simon, son of Jonas, before he was converted. Now, why does Jesus speak to Peter in this way? Well, I believe to remind Peter of what he was before he was converted. And that in itself can be painful, perhaps even somewhat embarrassing as well. It is certainly not something that we want to think about for very long. But Jesus does this not in order to hurt Peter or to embarrass Peter, but to remind Peter what a great change has come about in his life, what a great change Jesus has done in him that made Peter to be a saved man. Jesus saved him from being a Simon in order that he could become a Peter. And as the boys and girls may know this as well, the term Peter means rock, that is, one who is steadfast, not steadfast himself, but steadfast in his belief, his faith in God. Now, you and I, we must also sometimes be reminded of who and what we were before we were converted. And God does this by way of his word and Holy Spirit. We read, therefore, for instance, in Ephesians 2, verses 11 and 12, Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Or, we can read something similar in Titus 3 and verse 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Now, you know, this is something that we will not forget too easily. What we were in the past, the sins that we have done in the past. I heard a preacher not too long ago, a well-known preacher by the name of Woody Bacham. And if anyone has ever heard him preach, you will be excited about the manner in which he brings the gospel. But he said something that hit me, and that was this, that when God forgives your sins, He will never remember them anymore. But God will also make sure that you, in this life, will not forget the sins you have committed in order to keep you humble before God. Yes, that is what I was. This is what God has done in my life. Therefore, I humble myself before Almighty God for what He has done. And so, I see something of that in Simon Peter as well. That Jesus called him Simon, son of Jonas. It must have been painful for him because it reminds him of his past. Now, and that can therefore also be of help to us, you and me, if we remember again how we were before we were converted. Now, this may not necessarily be the case with everyone precisely in the same way, but at the same time, yes, we can reflect upon it when we were away from the Lord God, how we drifted and how we fell into sin, that sin or the other sin, and how it grieves us now when we remember it and how it humbles us because God has saved us from such sins. We can also confess then that yes, I too was a Simon, son of Jonas at one time, but God has turned me into a Peter. And then we may be confident as well that what God has done in our life in order to change us from a Simon into a Peter, that God will continue to work on us in order that we will continue to be faithful to Him. You see, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are what I want to call a Christian in the making. A Christian in the making. Now, I'm not a preacher, a bumper sticker preacher as such. But I do want to say this, that I was once behind a car that had a bumper sticker that says, "Be patient with me. God isn't finished with me yet." And I believe that we as Christians, as believers, must also say this, "God is not finished with me yet." That means that God is still busy completing us. But such completing work can at times be rather painful. And we see this with Peter as well. "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Well, we know that this was very painful for Peter because after the third time, we read that Peter was grieved. Now, this does not mean that Peter was resentful about Jesus asking that same question over and over again. No, but Peter was touched to the core. He was touched in the sense of being brought to tears. And you can well see him sitting there, that the tears came down his cheeks after the third time that Jesus asked him the same question. Peter understood what the Lord Jesus was doing. And it pierced him. It pierced him to be reminded of the way in which he betrayed his master. Peter was grieved because it means that the whole procedure of Jesus' question said something to him that reminded him of the past, and it was painful for him. But it needed to be done. It needed to be done. Now, was Peter afraid? Was he grieved and afraid because he would be punished, or that he would be rebuked, or that he would be scolded perhaps, or that he would even be put out of the circle of the disciples? No, that's not the case. But it was painful for Peter because he felt deep down inside of him that he had failed his Lord and his Master when he said there 3 times, "I know not the man." It was painful for Peter because he knew that he has hurt the one who loves him the most. And isn't, dear people, isn't that also what gives pain inside? When you, as a child of God, realize that you have sinned against a God of love. Someone once said that a Christian never sins cheaply. There's always some pain attached to it that will eventually begin to plague you, because God will not let you forget it in this life. You see, the Holy Spirit has a way of doing this, to bring you then to conviction and to confession of sin. But remember this as well. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not have to be afraid of punishments for your sins of the past. Because after all, when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, He has taken the guilt of your sins upon Himself. He has taken the punishment for your sins when He died on the cross of Calvary. As I said, yes, it can be painful when you realize that you have failed your Lord and your Master. But you may also take courage as well. For God's children, failure is never final. Failure is never final. Your pain can feel like it is a punishment to you, but be assured, such pain is not a punishment, but a work of God, the Holy Spirit, to bring you close to the heart of God and deepen your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. The criteria, therefore, is love. And this is why the Lord Jesus asked Peter, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And again, "Lovest thou me?" And again, "Lovest thou me?" Now, that's a heartbreaking string of questions, to be sure. But Jesus could have asked different questions as well, such as, "Peter, why did you deny me? Peter, why did you not remain faithful to me? Or Peter, why did you have to kick me while I was down?" Perhaps if such questions were asked of Peter, Peter may have come up with some sort of an excuse. We do not know, but you see, we as people, we can come up with excuses, can't we, for a particular sin. "Well, I lied because, well, I was in a pinch." Or, "Yeah, I stole that little bit. I didn't really realize what I was doing, but I needed it at that time." Or, "I gave in to this sin because, oh, others are doing it as well." Excuses, excuses. God does not want any excuses for our sin, dear people. He wants to hear from us whether we love Him. And in light of that question, it can be painful to realize that we have committed a sin against the God who we are to love. "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Jesus knows what He's doing when He asks that particular question. How so? Well, I want to consider that with you in the second place. Such work draws out a confession. Now, listen to what Peter says, and we need to be very precise in understanding, and so therefore pay close attention. Pay close attention. Listen to what Peter says. "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And again, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." Then again, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Now there are two remarkable things that stand out in this confession of Peter. And that is, in the first place, humility, and then also openness to the Lord's all-seeing eyes. Humility. Well, humility in how he has confessed his love for Jesus. Because when Jesus asks him the first time, "Lovest thou me more than these?" referring, of course, to the other disciples sitting around, Peter does not want to lift himself above the other disciples anymore, as he used to do in the past. As you know, this was Peter's downfall already before he denied Jesus. He was always busy comparing himself to the other disciples. He always found himself just a little bit better than the other disciples, just a little bit stronger than the other disciples, just a little bit more devoted to Jesus than the other disciples. At one time, comparing himself to the other disciples, he said to Jesus, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Matthew 26. There's now no such comparing and boasting of himself anymore. Peter has learned a good dose of humility. And dear people, isn't this what the Bible also teaches us as well? If we confess ourselves to be converted, if we confess that, yes, we have placed our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and confessed it even publicly, we must understand at the same time that we are no better than any other people who have not yet confessed their faith in Jesus Christ. Because if we do think so, that we are, then we think that we are a little bit better than others, we leave ourselves open to what the Bible calls pride. And you know what the Bible says about that? Pride comes before a fall. But to show and to declare that we are believers, we want to follow Paul's direction, don't we? When he states, for instance, in Philippians 2, verse 3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than self." And as Jesus works on Peter with his gentle grace, Peter is learning to practice some necessary humility. There's also some evidence as well of Peter's humility in his use of the word love. And here I want you to listen very carefully. The word that Peter uses for love and the word that Jesus uses for love are different. It is not the same word when Peter says, I love you. It is not the same word that Jesus used when he asked, "Lovest thou me?" Let me show you. According to language experts, the love that Jesus speaks of is a self-giving, it is a self-sacrificing, it is compared to divine love. It is a word in the Greek, agape. Remember this, agape. It is a love that has been displayed by the Lord Jesus when you read, for instance, in John 13 and verse 1, when Jesus knew that his hour was come that he would depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved, agape, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved, agape, them to the end. Now, Peter doesn't dare use that particular word, agape. But he uses a different word for love. A more human type of love. It is the word phileo, or filial in English. Filial love. It is a more human type of love. And again, it shows you what Peter has learned already in terms of humility. And this is a good lesson for us, for you and me as well, dear people. Although we do confess our faith in God, we are not yet perfect in our love towards God. Do we, you and I, do we dare to say that we love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and as the summary of the law tells us to? Can we say that our love for God is the same as what Jesus asks of Peter, of that self-giving, that self-sacrificing kind of love, agape love? Well, let us admit that we do fail many times, don't we? You and I, we know this. It is because sin is still attached to us. We are still in the flesh. And that sin that is attached to us tends to make us love self more than love God. Or love God less even than self. But God will be working on us with His Word and Holy Spirit. And one evidence of this is that we will desire to love the Lord more than what we are actually capable of at present. And therefore, we too would want to say, in humility, along with Peter, Thou knowest that I love Thee. But Lord, it is still only a human, it is a less than perfect love by which I love thee, Philel, filial love. And you know what? And this is most amazing, and it shows you that wonderful character of the Lord Jesus. Jesus actually accepts that human, less than perfect love for now. How do we know? Because when Jesus asked Peter for the third time, lovest thou me, Jesus actually used the same word for love, philel, as Peter did. Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me with that human, less than perfect love? That tells us the character of Jesus, doesn't it? Isn't Jesus gracious? Isn't he compassionate? As a worker of spiritual restoration. And so, dear brothers and sisters, in the Lord Jesus Christ, God accepts your less than perfect love for now. But He does want you and me to realize that presently it is still less than perfect. And also that it is a good thing that you and I learn to confess this before God in all humility. I may tell you this as well, based on Scripture, that one day we will love perfectly when we are with the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a joy that will be, because then His love will be poured out in our hearts, and it will, as it were, come and flow over from us to Him and to all around us. Another thing that shows up in Peter's confession is not only that he has learned a good measure of humility by confessing a less than perfect love, but he is learning also to open himself up to Jesus' all-seeing eyes. And dear people, this comes out in Peter's confession with those words, Thou knowest, verse 15, Thou knowest, verse 16, Thou knowest all things, verse 17. And again, according to language experts, Peter uses a different word in the last, Thou knowest all things. With that last, Thou knowest all things, Peter confesses an all-seeing and an all-searching knowledge of Jesus, and with it he, as it were, confesses, Lord Jesus, look deep down into my heart, into the deepest recesses of my heart, examine my innermost being, and thou shalt discover what? Thou shalt discover love for thee. Not perfect, but love for thee. And it is a sentiment, dear people, that comes through clearly in what we have read already from Psalm 139, the verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. It is something that we have also sung about as well from Psalter number 384 rather. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. O lead me, if in sin I stray, in paths of life to go. Now let me ask you, if the Lord Jesus would look down into your heart, would he find such love for him in you? Or would he find love for the world there and a deep down love for sin yet? Would you be willing to go on your knees and ask the Lord, search me, O Lord, and know my heart? Would you be able to confess along with Peter, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Or is it still the other way? And that would be sad. And I hope and pray that is not the case with any of us. It would be sad if we still have a love for this world and a love for self and for self-accomplishment. Because in the end, you will be deceived because it won't satisfy you. Therefore, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and love for him is the only thing that will satisfy you. And dear people, it was Jesus' work to draw this confession out of Peter. And it is Jesus' work by word and Holy Spirit to draw such a confession out of you and me as well. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Boys and girls, here's something that I want you to remember. When God has changed your heart, you will have a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it won't be a perfect love yet, to be sure, but Jesus will accept that love as he accepted Peter's love. And Jesus will then also help you grow in your love for him through him pouring out his love in your heart. Well, now, in our text, we see Jesus' work in Peter. It's been painful for Peter, but it has drawn a beautiful, humble confession out of Peter. But then, Jesus does more than that. As you must consider this in the third place, such work reinstates the believer in his calling. But before we consider that, let us sing. And do so from Psalter number 53, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Psalter number 53, 1, 2, and 4. Dear congregation, notice this important part. Notice how Jesus responds to Peter's confession. Jesus tells Peter, and that is also a repetition of three times, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Now, as you know, some 3 years earlier, Jesus called Peter to follow him. And Peter soon found out that Jesus loved to describe himself as a shepherd, as a spiritual shepherd of believers, young and old. And he would call the young ones my lambs and the older ones my sheep. And just think of what Jesus himself once, what it was recorded of him when he said, I am the good shepherd. John chapter 10. Think also of what we have been able to sing just a moment ago from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness, that for his name's sake. This means, dear people, this means that Peter, as a disciple and follower of the Lord Jesus, also has the calling then of becoming a spiritual shepherd. He was instituted originally as a spiritual shepherd. but he had fallen away from it. When Peter fell into sin and denied his master, he fell from his calling as spiritual shepherd. He, as it were, disqualified himself from being of any service to the Lord his God. However, as we have heard, Jesus will not let his followers down. Peter himself, like a sheep, had gone astray. But Jesus, like a good shepherd, searched him out, brought him back, and with some work in questioning him and drawing a confession from him, a beautiful confession as we have heard, reinstated him in his calling. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Now, what this basically means, dear people, is that Peter is reinstated in all the tasks of a spiritual shepherd. Looking after the young ones and the older ones. Feeding them with the word. Protecting them. Warning them. Comforting them. Leading them. And true enough, Peter soon proved himself to be reinstated in his calling by the grace of God. As an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, he soon had the privilege of preaching the word and to lead the church into the green pastures of the gospel. Many years later, Peter could also write some very encouraging words to office bearers as well and servants of God, as you can read this in 1 Peter 5. And I want to read with you the first 4 verses of 1 Peter 5, and just to let you know how Peter gives us wonderful instructions. The elders, so he writes, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and have witness of the sufferings of Jesus of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now, this therefore should be of great encouragement to all office bearers and to all future office bearers as well. But this should really be of great encouragement to all of us who have learned to confess the Lord Jesus Christ as the one and only Savior of my sins. Because He, Jesus, gets you to confess your love for Him so that you may again enter into His service. Now you might ask, well, what kind of service might that be? Well, it could be the service of nurturing little ones, as mothers can do in such a wonderful way. It can be the service of tending to needy ones, for those who go out and see the needs of people in this world of today. It could be the service of comforting those who are in distress. And how good it is that we can sometimes sit next to a brother or sister who's lost a loved one and just sit there with them. Comforting. Whoever has confessed the Lord Jesus Christ will, in love for Him, will do whatever is necessary to serve Him. And you too may then hear it from His gracious lips. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Dearly beloved in the Lord, you and I have a calling, don't we? You and I have a calling to serve Him and to serve Him faithfully. And that not just out of a sense of duty, but from a sense of love for Him. And though again our love for Him is not perfect by far, but you and I, we will discover that as we serve Him, that we will also grow in love for Him and grow in love for His service. Just listen once more to Peter many years after he was reinstated already in his calling and serving of the Lord, even as an apostle. And I read from 1 Peter 1, 8 and 9. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, proved his love for a fallen believer by searching him out, by working on him, and by reinstating him. And this fallen and reinstated believer can now, even through the word that comes to us this hour, can now prompt others to love the Lord Jesus Christ. And if anyone listening to this message has fallen into one sin or another, by the grace of God, desires to be reinstated, that in itself already is a great blessing, because the Lord Jesus will not let you go. Jesus poses this question for you as well, this hour. Lovest thou me? And then the question is, what answer will you give him? Amen.